And Father, I just thank you this morning, and we give you all honor and all glory in all things. I thank you for the moving of your Spirit. I thank you, Father God, for changing the lives. Father, you're in control of this service. You do what you do best. Move among your people. Change and rearrange. And Father, we thank you for your Holy Spirit and your Son, Jesus, and the angelic hosts that are here this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God is on the move, but so is the enemy, you know. You're going to find you're going to have many false prophets coming along and evangelists coming. And you've been forewarned about all this, but really and truly keep your eyes upon Jesus, and don't take your eyes off of him, and don't allow the enemy to pull you off in some side road somewhere. And Matthew 21:28 says, Jesus says, "What do you think? There was a man," he asked you a question, "what do you think? There was a man who had two sons." He's going to tell a story here. "He went to the first and said, 'Son, go and work today in the vineyard.' And the son said, 'I will not,' he answered. But later he changed his mind and went. Then the father went to the other son and said the same thing. He answered, 'I will, sir,' but he did not go. Which of the two did what his father wanted?" "The first," they answered. Jesus said to them, "Truly I tell you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God ahead of you." So God told us, because the church was like the second son who said, "I'll do it," but he did not. He's going to now go out in highways and byways and bring in the prostitutes, the whoremongers, the drug addicts, the alcoholics, the people that nobody wants. He's going to bring them into the house of God. He's going to use them for his glory. So then, just as there came a time when God left the Jews and started ministering to the Gentiles, we are now in the season where God has left the church and he is now ministering to the Gentiles once again. He is calling these lost sheep babes. The title he gave me is "Out of the Mouths of Babes." All right? This dispensation also includes the lost Jews. There are more and more Jews accepting Jesus than ever before. He is now sending his disciples, which is you and I, into the highways and byways and compelling them to come into the houses of refuge. Now, see, notice the houses of refuge. What God did years ago was he set certain churches aside and then taught them the deep things of God. And those are their houses. He called houses of refuge. And those are the houses where he's going to send the lost and dying to, because he knows that that the ones in there are qualified to minister to the lost and the dying. Now, each one of you sitting here this morning, you've been in that move of God where he's been teaching for years now, at least 10, about how to minister to the lost and dying. Now, and you also sat in where the church was shaken, and God shook everything that he could shake, so that everything was not of him was shaken out of us, so that now when we came to this dispensation of time, we are now ready to be used for his kingdom. Now, because you're ready to be used for his kingdom, the devil's also come. And he's come to fight like he's never fought before. And he's trying to steal everything that God has given you. And I'm hearing God say, in this manifestation of my glory, the enemy's also going to manifest his glory. And he's going to try to imitate what God is doing in this season. That is why you need to have discernment to know which is God and which is not of God. All right? So God has been telling us that he has been preparing the hearts of the ones he is going to bring into the house to anoint and send forth to do his mighty works. In other words, he'd been telling us he's already working with the lost people out there, and he's already speaking to them, and he's ministering to them, and getting that he already has them prepared to bring them into the houses. All right? We are living in the time that Joel wrote about in Joel chapter 2 in Acts 2:17. It says, in the last days it shall be God, it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Now, I want to stop there and tell you that right now there are ministers out there that are trying to discourage the body of Christ from entering into the fullness of what God is doing. You're going to have to have total and complete discernment and not allow these false ministers to pull you off course. It's very, very important that you understand that the enemy wants to take you out. Matthew 21:15 says, but when the chief priest and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, that, you know, Jesus did, and the children crying out in the temple, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were indignant, and they said to him, do you hear what these are saying? And Jesus said to them, yes, have you never read, out of the mouth of infants and nursing babies, you have prepared praise. Let's read that again. We're talking about the unsaved that are coming into the house of God. God calls them babes. But when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, that Jesus did, and the children crying out in the temple, Hosanna to the Son of David. Now, when these lost people come into the house of God and they get free, and they're going to be excited. And you're going to have to be ready for that excitement, because sometimes you're going to get out of control, you know, and you're going to have to know how to rein them back in again. So they can really do the works that God wants them to do. Now, in Psalms chapter 8, verse 1 says, how majestic is your name, O Lord, our Lord. How majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. And out of the mouth of babies and infants you have established strength because of your foes to steal the enemy and the avenger. He said, out of the mouth of babies and infants you have established strength because of your foes to steal the enemy and the avenger. You know, God calls these little ones that he's bringing in babes, but they're also sheep, baby sheep, little lambs. And he asked Peter about ministering to the lambs and the sheep. He's asking you this morning, are you ready to minister to these lost and dying sheep that he's sending in? You guys that have churches, you're going to have to be on alert. You're going to have to be hearing God at all times. You're going to have to know what he's speaking to you and what he's saying to you at all times. He's going to be instructing you. And I found out this weekend when I'd be talking to somebody, all of a sudden I'd say, I got to go. God wants to talk to me. While I was talking to people, and this happened 3 different times, while I was talking to people, God said, I need to talk to you now. So I had to hang up and hear what God had to say. So this is where God has taken you to. You're going to have discernment, have to hear his voice. And I don't care who you're talking. You can talk to the President of the United States. If God said, I need to talk to you now, you're going to have to hang up and write down what God's saying to you. And this is what's going to be occurring, and what it's important, or he wouldn't be interrupting your conversation. All right? So get ready for those times, because they're already here. Now, this is God speaking. God said, out of the mouths of babes shall pour jewels from heaven. The baby sheep that are coming into my house as a refuge will be full of wisdom and power. And when my anointing touches those two attributes, you shall see fire rain down from heaven like never before. You have stepped into a dispensation of time where everyone will feel my glory, everyone, and know that I am Lord over all. Come sit at my feet and allow me to lead, guide, and direct your each and every footstep into this new realm of glory. For you have never been this way before, and you will never go this way again, for this is a final thrust before the great second coming of my Son, Jesus Christ. Are you listening here, ministers? You can't get bored with the Word of God. The Word of God should be like a fire burning in your bones. I don't care who's teaching it. If it's a true Word of God, it should be like a fire burning in your bones. And this fire should change your life totally and completely. What did God say here? Come sit at my feet and allow me to lead, guide, and direct your each and every footstep into this new realm of glory. For you have never been this way before. So in other words, this new realm that we're in right now, you might say, God, what are you doing? Because you've never been there before. You don't understand. We've been going through that. But as we just yield ourselves to God and let Him lead, guide, and direct us, it all makes sense when it's all finished. And then He says, and you will never go this way again. So this is the final thrust before Jesus comes. And this is the greater works that God has been talking to us about. Then God went on to say, foreknowledge will be a great attribute of these baby sheep. They have ears to hear, and they surely will listen to the voice of the Father. Where do you go from here? You go straight into the throne room of grace over and over again. You don't just want to be satisfied with one touch of God's glory. You need to get it every day, over and over and over again. Please don't be content at where you're at right now. There's so much more that God is trying to give us if we would just receive it. God said, you will continually go from glory to glory, and there is nothing I will withhold from my precious little ones. You will continually. So that means every day God should be giving, doing something fresh and new in your life. He can wake you up in the middle of the night. You know, Aaron and I was talking because his mother was in. I told him I would get the song service together. And I worked diligently Friday till I was about blue in the face. Finally, I said, this is it. I'm going to bed. I can't get it together. And during the night, God woke me up talking to me about what He wanted the song service to be. So I got up and I wrote it down, and lo and behold, there it was. But I labored and labored and labored, you know, seeking God's face. But He didn't give it to me till wee hours in the morning. So you have to be listening for God's voice. And I went to bed. I said, God, you're going to have to dictate this here song service because I'm not getting it. And so He did. He woke me up and said, here it is. This is your song service. And He started giving me songs. So are your ears in tune to God, or are you too sleepy? Are you asleep? I'm hearing God say, are you asleep at the wheel? Or are you ready to get up and do whatever He's asking you to do whenever He asks you to do it? Then God goes on to say, thump, thump, thump. What do you think is in the thump? In the thump is my thunder, my lightning. These attributes will flow through each and every one of my precious little sheep. This thump will send blow after blow against the enemy until he isn't anymore. Now remember when God taught us that lesson about these new sheep that were coming into the house? They would be so on fire for God that they would have a fighting spirit and they would destroy the enemy's camp. See, because the church has become lethargic, the church doesn't want to fight, they just want to sit, and they just want people to lead, guide, and direct them instead of God, and therefore the church has just gone astray. But you guys, you've been busy, and you've been seeking God's face, and you've been saying more, 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 Lord. And I believe you've been receiving more from what I see. There's times we stumble and fall. Everybody stumbles and falls at some times in their walk with God. Absolutely everybody, I don't care who you are. But you don't stay down, you get back up. What's the word of God say? You fall down seven times, but seven times you get back up again. You know, you just keep getting back up, you don't stay down. My real father used to always tell me, pull yourself up by the bootstraps and get up, because nobody else is going to help you up once you fall. They'll kick you when you're down. They won't ever help you when you fall. So, you know, he said, grab yourself by the bootstraps and pull yourself back up again. You have to do that. You have to determine it's your life. And you know, you're going to get back up again. You're not going to let the enemy walk over you. You're going to walk all over the enemy. All right? I don't care how many demons you have inside of you, running around inside of you, making you do different things or telling you different things. God is greater. He's more powerful. We have that power and we have that authority. Now we just have to start using it. Let's go to Matthew chapter 18, verse 1. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Jesus called a little child to him and placed a child among them, and he said, truly, I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever takes the lowly position of this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever welcomes a little child is like this in my name welcomes me. But if anyone causes one of these little ones who believe in me to stumble, it would be better for him to have a large millstone hung around his neck and be drowned in the depths of the sea. Woe to the world for the causes of sin. These stumbling blocks must come, but woe to the man through whom they come. Satan will always send a stumbling block your way. Come on now. You're not all that and then some. He did it to Jesus over and over and over again. But Jesus stood his ground. Jesus said, "Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written." Isn't that what he did? You don't have to fall into temptations. You don't have to fall into the junk of the world. Satan's trying to take you out. You know, you think you're all that and then some. Well, just receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you'll find out how much you're not. Because as minute you do, you go into a battle, and the enemy fights you tooth and nail. Before you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, he left you alone because he already had you. But the minute you receive Jesus Christ, you know, like whenever I first born again, I said, "God, what is this all about?" And he said, "I heard you when you said, 'Here am I, use me,' but the enemy heard it too. And this is what it's all about. He's come to stop you." So you need to get your head out of the sand, and you need to get it back up in the heavenly places and understand that you're a warrior for Christ. You're a warrior. You're not some little puppet or yo-yo that he takes by a string and does what he wants to with you. You're a child of God. Now start acting like one. Take God's hand, and you know, and I'm hearing and God said, take his hand and walk in liberty. Don't allow the enemy to bind you up all the time. Take God's hand and walk in liberty. This is, you know, walking with God's hard. It is. It's hard. Because about the time you think the battle's over, here comes another battle.
Yes.
Then, you know, then he's what he's trying to wear down the saints. Isn't that what the Word of God says? I'm not going to sit up here and tell you it's easy, because it's not. Before, I always went to church, but before I was born again, I never had any problems. I really had a nice life. The minute I became born again, all hell broke loose against me, and it's been broke loose. It hasn't stopped. You know, this is what comes along with serving Jesus, because you're fighting for your crown in heaven. When, you know, and Satan already had you before you was born again, because you had to be born again. He already had you, and he didn't care what you did, because he knew one day he's going to be able to torment you in hell. You need to stop telling your people that, you know, you're walking in Rose Garden, because you are not. You're in a war. I used to always say, I wouldn't want any of you guys in a ditch with me if I was in a war, because you wouldn't be covering my back. I turn and look, you all be gone. You know, so make sure that those around about you are covering you. And not running away from you. They're not doing some stupid thing, you know, and causing you to even go through more warfare. Come on, guys. Matthew 18, verses 10 and 14 says, Jesus says, that you do not despise one of these little ones. He's talking about the sheep he's going to send in. For I tell you that there are angels in heaven always see the face of my Father in heaven. Even so, it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. You know, we need to be trusting God that he will give us the wisdom that we need to minister to anybody he sends through your door. I don't care who they are, anybody. And we can't shun people just because they have a demon acting up. We have to love the person, but not like the demon. We love the person and give them deliverance. You see this? Because after all, when you've been out in the world all your life, you have demons in you. I don't care who what you say, you do have demons in you. And you need to get those things out of you so you can be free to minister to the God, for God. And God went on to say, do not provoke me to jealousy. In fact, I was talking to somebody on the phone. I heard this. I got to go. I got to see what God has to say. He said, do not provoke me to jealousy. I need you to welcome in those that I am sending into your house. And I need you to work with them in all humility. I need you to be instruments of honor that will feed my sheep fresh manna from heaven. You need never be jealous or envious of the babes that I am sending in, for they are fulfilling prophecy at this end time dispensation of harvesting. God said, these are so hungry for the supernatural, they have so long been in captivity, and they are jumping at the reins to do a mighty works for me. You will see them take my word for exactly what it tells them, and you will see them run with it and do exactly what I promised them they can accomplish. This is what happens in the body of Christ. When a new sheep comes into the fold, the old people who wouldn't do nothing but just sit there and cause you problems get jealous because the new sheep are full of the glory and full of the power of God. And so what do they start doing? They start fighting against the new sheep. They fight you because you're letting a new sheep be used. And then it causes chaos. I don't care who you are. If you're walking with Jesus the way you should, it doesn't matter who God sends into the house of God. And if they're anointed and they and God and the pastor starts using them immediately, there should be no jealousy at all. You should be rejoicing that God has sent somebody else in to help lighten the load. But anybody that's been a minister of the gospel and even an evangelist going out there in the field, you can say that's not the way it happens. Everybody becomes jealous of somebody else's anointing. And I've taught you over and over again that God uses you with your personality. And he anoints you according to your personality. And so you're not going to be doing what other people are doing the way they're doing it. Because God didn't make clones. He made individuals. All right? I mean, in this church, I've seen this happen over and over and over again. So what happens then? They see somebody starting to climb the ladder, you know, and be exalted in God. Right away, they start pushing them down because after all, who do they think they are? We've been here for years and they just walk in and they're being used. This isn't right. I see that all the time, and this is not of God. All right, so you guys get ready to have ministries. You get ready for this to happen, and you make sure that you're listening to God and you hear God's voice and do what God's telling you to do. You know, you and I look at a person through our eyes and not God's eyes. And we don't see them as God sees them. We don't see what's inside. And so therefore, you need to start saying, God, let me see people as you see them. Don't allow me to look at them through my eyes any longer, but let me look at them through spiritual eyes. Sometimes you're not going to like what you see. But, you know, at least you know what they're all about. And then since you ask God to let you do that, then what he's going to do is he's going to tell you how to minister to that problem. All right? Mark 16, verse 15 says, well, when he was talking about the new sheep are going to be hungry and they're going to take up the word and do exactly. See, this is what happened to me when I was born again. I read the word. It said I could cast out devils. It said I could raise the dead. And I went out and did all that. I was chastised by pastors. You can't do that. I said, well, the word told me I could do that. But I didn't listen to people because I was like one of them young sheep. I was on fire for God, you know. I could do anything that the Word of God, and that's how you should be. You can do anything the Word of God tells you you can do. All right, so Mark 16, 15 said, and Jesus said to them, go into all the world and proclaim. It didn't tell you just to go into the Lighthouse Church and sit. Go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Whoever believes, they have to believe, and is baptized will be saved. But whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe in my name. They will cast out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up serpents with their hands. And if they drink any deadly poison, it will not hurt them. They will lay their hands on the sick and they will recover. Now, I don't want you to go around picking up snakes. Don't do that. But anyhow, you can do these things. I've done all these things. You can do these things. I don't care what anybody tells you can't do. Jesus himself said, this is what you will do if you are a believer. All right? These people in Virginia, they're doing the snake things, you know, church. They're getting bit by the snakes and dying because they're not doing it. God didn't tell us to do that. We don't have a snake church. Right? Then God said, never take the spark out of their eyes. This is these new babes. Never put a damper on their enthusiasm. Always keep your ears in tune to my voice so you will hear when I say, this is the way, walk ye in it. Now let's just stop there. God said, never take the spark out of their eyes. Never put a damper on their enthusiasm. Now, Wednesday night, we saw some things that weren't of God. And people said to me later, what did we do? Because they never, I said, we just pray. We let them alone. We don't want to destroy them. And then we just pray and ask God to level the thing out. All right? Come on. I've seen all kind of manifestations in this church. But if we let God take care of it, he will take care of it. And the person won't be destroyed. They'll be built up. Okay? Now, if you're a minister, you need to have discernment and you need to know when to say, hey, well, now that's enough. All right. So do not put a damper on these new babes or come into the house of God. Isaiah 30, verse 21 says, your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. Whenever you turn to the right hand or whenever you turn to the left. And I've got that scripture because God said, always keep your ears in tune to my voice, so you will hear when I say, this is the way, walk ye in it. And the verse for that is Isaiah 30:21. God says circumstance after circumstance will rise to give you opportunity to walk in error at this present time. See that? But you know my voice, and you know my ways, so you should never stumble nor fall into the pit the enemy has dug before your feet. God said, circumstance after circumstance will rise to give you opportunity to walk in error at this present time. God spoke it. The enemy's digging a pit before your feet. Are you going to walk in it, or are you going to hear God's voice and not walk and fall into that pit? God was prophesying to me about somebody the other day, and he said, the enemy is laying out the bait. And he already has it laid out, and the person's already taken the first bite of the bait. And if they take another bite, it's going to destroy them. And this is more or less what this is saying here, too. He's already laid out the bait. You cannot in any way, shape, or form acknowledge the bait is even there. Keep your eyes upon Christ, your ears in tune to his voice, and you won't take the bait. And God said, freely you have received from me all these many years, and now it's your turn to freely give out what I have sown into your spirit man. And then Matthew 10:8 says, freely you received, freely give. Heal the sick, raise the dead to life, heal people who have leprosy, and force out demons. You received without paying, now give without being paid. Heal the sick, bring the dead back to life, heal those who suffer from dreaded skin diseases, and drive out demons. All these ministers say, now if you send me in $1,000, you'll be healed. So the Bible just says you don't do that, right? Freely you receive, freely you give out again. You don't ask people for payment for anything that you do for them. We don't even charge for the disc that we use for the prophetic word. And that's an expensive part of the ministry. Freely God gives, freely we give out. I've been to churches before I became a pastor where they charge you $3 to $5 for your prophetic word. That was a free word from God. Why should I have to pray for it? Are you understanding this? So don't use your ministry to bilk people, because that's not what God wants you to do. Matthew 10:8, freely you receive. Oh, I read that, didn't I? I'm sorry. God said, I have already removed all masks of deception, and what I see in you is what is good. See that? God's already removed all masks of deception, and what I see in you is what is good. I have dipped you in the oil of my presence over and over again, and I have completed a good works within each of you. You've been dipped in the oil over and over again. Amen? Come on. It has all been about my grace, compassion, and long-suffering. God said these babes will need the very same attributes poured out upon them. They will need room to make mistakes just as I gave you room. Are all your ears open to this? They will need to have room to make mistakes just as God gave you room to make mistakes. He didn't smack you on the head and say, I'm finished with you, just because you made a mistake over and over and over again. He's long-suffering, and he was there for you, right? God said, the ones I have appointed to do a great and mighty works immediately, you know, these new people coming in, will come into the houses fully clothed in their armor of righteousness, proclaiming, where do I go and what do I do? And God's told us over and over again, that's how they're going to come in. He's already prepared an army. The people on the streets are already prepared by God to be a great army for him. And when he finally brings them into the house of God, they're going to be ready to go to war. It's not going to be like the church that we've known all these years. The church doesn't want a war. They don't want to do anything but sit. But these new people are going to come in ready to fight. Why? Because they are sick and tired of what the enemy has been doing with them all their life. They're tired of being bound. They're tired of being mentally ill. They're tired of whatever. And they just want to be set free, and they want to go forth and set other people free. God said, you will no longer have to labor for years trying to get them to believe. They will be anxious to believe, and they will in turn tell others about the good news. When God said, don't put a damper on their enthusiasm, when I went in the house of God full of the zeal of God, I was told the pastor to tell me to sit down, be quiet, you know, all kind of junk. And they didn't try to grow me at all. All they wanted me to do was sit down and be quiet. Why? Because I had the anointing and they did not. Are you understanding this? That's what it's all about. You have the anointing. The pastors didn't, and they didn't understand your anointing. They was jealous of your anointing. After who do you think you are? You're a brand new sheep. Why do you think you can come in here and prophesy and tell me things about the word that you're saying I don't know, which they didn't know? Now, are you ready to come against that kind of stuff? Because it's going to happen to you. Or are you going to sink down into the sand and just say, oh, well, I guess I didn't hear God's voice. If you heard God's voice, and you heard God's voice in movement, but know that you heard God's voice. Come on. And I'm hearing God. Some of you women are called to be women ministers, to minister to other women. Then you're going to have to hear God's voice, because the women are just as messed up as the men are. I can't believe the things I've been reading all these years about what women do. They have no scruples at all. The world is, the church is messed up. All right. And Acts 5:42 says, every day in the temple courts and from house to house, they did not stop teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Christ. When the Holy Spirit fell on the day of Pentecost, it says every day in the temple courts and from house to house, they did not stop teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Christ. And God says, take the good news of my love to a lost and dying world. Hold nothing back. You know, don't be afraid to say Jesus loves you. Don't be afraid to say Jesus heals. Don't be afraid to say Jesus can cast out those demons that's in you. Don't be afraid to say that kind of stuff. If you're walking in fear, then God can't use you. He can't use you. You have to be fearless. And you have to be willing to, if God sends you, then you'll go fearless. But if you're going to go out there by yourself, then God didn't send you, and fear is going to overtake you. And fear is of the devil. And so that's who's going to overtake you. Now, God said the greatest aspect of these new believers is that their faith will be off the charts. They will be unstoppable because they serve an unstoppable God. Come on. We're in a brand new dispensation. And God's doing brand new things. And when he called me in the scene, he sent me forth to the ministers to try to get the ministers straightened out. The ministers wouldn't believe the truth. And so therefore, God had to remove them. Now, in this dispensation of time, he's finished with the church. The church is messed up. The church doesn't want him. And now he's bringing in a brand new group of people. And he's going to use us to minister to them. And they are going to be on fire for God, because I was on fire for God. Boy, I tell you what, nothing could stop me. And they told me when the first person was raised from dead, they said, you cannot do that. I said, well, the Bible says I can. And it just happened. First person was raised from dead three times, because three times he went back again. We can do all things that the word of God tells us we can do. What's wrong with you people? Why do you just sit and allow the enemy to keep telling you can't do anything? You know? You know, I have Aaron here. I'm going to use him as an example. You know, he does the praise and he gets his praise and worship together. So we sit and talk about what he should do. And so I was trying to explain to him what I wanted him to do this morning. And so he gets up here and he just says, he didn't even say what I said, but he did it so much better than what I told him. He already has that knowledge within him to get up there and do the things that God's told him for it to do. But there's something that's holding him back, saying, you really can't do this thing. Say, but he gets up there and he can speak like he wouldn't believe and doesn't say a word I said. It's the same thing, but he doesn't say it the way I said it. And I'm sitting there thinking, God, this man is so talented. He has so much wisdom. Yank off that spirit of fear or whatever's holding him back and set him free so he can go out there and really do the things you called him for to do. But sometimes we need a brand new mindset. The enemy's told us we're no good. We can't do this. We can't do that. Can't do the other. But he'll drag you into sin. And let you think, yo, you can do that all day long. But you try to do anything for God, and he'll say, oh, you can't do that. After all, you know this you've done. Isn't that how it works? Sister Grace and her dancing. I heard her dancing has really, really got anointed. Before he was telling her, you can't do this. Yes, she could. She could do that all along. But God set her free from that voice. Are you understanding this? Come on. It's time for you guys to rise and shine and do the things that God has called you forth to do, and that's to be true leaders to these new people that he's sending. He didn't even have to send them into the house. They'll be on your job site, right? You run across one of your job sites. And they're on your job site, and then God will say to you, I want you to say this to this person. I want you to say that to that person. Now, are you going to go and do what God's telling you to do, or are you going to draw back? Yeah, I don't know where some of you, I don't know where any of you work as far as that goes, but when I was first born again, you know, the people thought I went crazy anyhow at work. And I told this one lady one time I went to work and I said, God told me you're going to sell your house and you're going to move in with this guy you're going with who is married to somebody else. And God's telling me, I didn't know this. I didn't know she's going with somebody who's married. And I said, God told me to tell you, please don't move, sell your house because he's going to leave you the minute you go into the other house. She said, who do you think you are? Tell me stuff like that. I said, well, I'm just telling you what God told me. Well, she sold her house. The parents gave it to her free and clear. She sold her house, moved into this other house, and man left her the day they moved in. Exactly. Then there she was stuck with this house and house payments by herself. She's still in the house. I don't know really how she managed, but anyhow, you see what I'm saying here, if you're working someplace and God tells you to go and tell somebody something, go and tell them. What they do with it's up to them. But if you don't tell them, God's going to hold you accountable. And that wasn't the only thing I ever told somebody I worked with. But that one just stands out because it was so blatant, you know. So what are you going to do? Are you going to get bold as a lion? Are you going to be a true soldier of Christ and be able to minister to the lost and dying that's even out there? Come on. When we first started church, you know, I really had a really good praise and worship team, and I booked us everywhere. Everywhere somebody let us go and play, I booked us. And we booked up to the old mall, Blue Hen Mall. And I didn't realize that the guy that played the drums had his own band. He never told me that. And I was trying to teach him how to sing and play the drums. He can play drums like you wouldn't believe. But he never told me that. And we went up to the mall. When I told him we were going to go to the mall and play, he was so embarrassed. Us little rinky-dink people going up there and playing, because he used to play in a big, you know, big place. And so he went up there. We went up there. And he never said anything to me. Then we went up there, and we sit up, and we was playing. The people come from out of the stores, brought their own chairs even, sit down. And the whole mall was full of people, wasn't it? And one of your kids, was it you that pulled their pants off or something? Huh? Rebecca? Up there undressed. People are laughing at her. But anyhow, this man said, he gives his testimony to his own church. He said, I couldn't believe the anointing. He didn't know about the anointing either. But he said, the anointing fell, and he says, and everybody would just come out of everywhere to listen to them sing. That, you know, you have to be brave. And he said, she just act like, and he really looked down upon us, though. You know, he said we weren't any good singers. And we all talk about this. But he looked down upon us like that. He said, but she thought we were the best sounding people in the world. And you are when you're under the anointing. Come on. Come on. And I just took the people everywhere and did everything with them, thinking they were like I was, you know, and thinking that they had this, and they never told me they're any different. They just followed me. But they, you know, never told me that they didn't like to do what I was doing. But every place we went, people were saved. We went to a nursing home one time, and a nurse came by and looked in the window. She said, what are you doing? Them people, they'd never been this quiet the whole time they've ever been here. I said, I'm not doing nothing. We were ministering to, you know, preaching to them. And the anointing froze them in their chairs. You know what that's like, all right, Brother Allen? First time he came in here, he sat right back there, and I said, what's wrong with that man? He sat there, he was like he was froze. He didn't blink his eyes or do nothing. I kept preaching, you know, and I thought, why doesn't that man at least blink his eyes? And he was froze in his chair by the Holy Spirit. Come on, there's so much out there you can be doing rather than dumb stuff. All you have to do is just believe what we just read, what God said we can do, and then just go do it. You know whether or not you're walking under the, if you're not walking in the Spirit, though, get filled with the Holy Spirit, and then just go and work for God. When I call some people sometimes, God wants to use you to give a word, they look at me like, oh, really now? But they go, and God just uses them because God tells me, I want to use this person. Tell them to go, I want to use them. And see, it's the anointing. It's not the person, it's the anointing flowing through that God places upon them to use them to prophesy the word. So, you know, if God's telling you to say something to somebody at work, then the anointing's going to hit you and the right words are going to come out and minister to that person. A lot of your sheep that you're going to run into are out on the street. All the sheep you're going to run into is out on the street. Every now and then, a lost sheep will come in here, but they're out there on the street. And they need to be ministered to so they can come into the house of God, like they did on the day of Acts. Now, are you ready to do all that? I don't care if you were a drug addict. I don't care if you were an alcoholic. I don't care what you were. If you're in the house of God and God's moving upon you, God wants to use you. Now, the altar's open this morning for more courage to go out there and do the work that God's calling you for to do.